Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and today's guest is two guests. I want to go right to the two of you. It is Andrea and Keston Opdahl with a wonderful story to tell about having a baby. I'm going to go right to you, but I just did want to ask you something, Keston. Tell me just a little bit background. You said that you were a singer and...
Yeah, that's how I met Andrea. I actually used to sing in a rock band. A Led Zeppelin tribute band.
Oh,
Andrea
nice.
Came up and...
Audience.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she said, you're mine. And
I
said, you're too young. And she said, no, I'm not. You're mine. And that's pretty much how we ended up being together.
Oh, like every math should be so easy.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
6 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about babies.
Yes.
Tell me, I know you started out, Andrea. How did you decide to do this? You guys tell.
Well, what happened is we actually, I was a surrogate for another lesbian couple. And initially what happened is we had gone to a party. And
how did you get chosen? Oh, are you going to tell that?
We went to a party and we reconnected with some friends I hadn't seen in a long time. And I was showing them pictures of my kids and they were like, oh, they're so beautiful. And that kind of led them into their story.
When you say picture of your kids.
Mm-hmm. I have two children from a previous
okay.
relationship.
Okay.
So they kind of went into their fertility problems and how they had been trying to have a family for 6 years and they had spent almost $250,000 and they tried doing adoptions, but they're getting denied because they're gay. So we really heard this very tragic story and my heart just went out to them and I was like, you know, here I am. I can make babies. They're beautiful. You know, how could I deny these women the opportunity at motherhood? And so I decided that, you know, I would offer to surrogate. And, of course, they were jumped on it and were like, oh, my gosh, of course, yes, we would love to. And so that's kind of how we started the journey.
Yeah, they...
And that was good with you, too, that she'd be a surrogate.
In the beginning, no. This all happened in one night because we were at the party.
It sounds like that could be a little complicated to absorb totally and say,
it
wait
was. And I told everybody, wait, hold on, stop. This would be like a year or so out of our lives. Obviously, it's been a lot more than a year. But I said, no, we have to stop and think about this. But the three women, Andrea and the two intended moms, were just... It was like a train that wasn't going to stop. And I knew, you know, Andrea felt like she was doing the right thing and she was going to do something good in the world. And she also had ulterior motives. She had other issues personal issues that she felt like she would be doing something right and righting a wrong that she had done in her past.
Okay.
And so I couldn't deny that to her. So we were actually going to get married. And I said, well, now we have to postpone that. And, they offered to give us some money for it, which every surrogate gets paid. And mm-hmm. we thought, well, we could use that money for a wedding.
But why did that mean postponing the marriage?
Because Andrea would have been huge.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I didn't want
to. She wanted to get married in a bikini.
No, I don't want a bikini, but
so
I didn't want to be hugely pregnant.
Just for
you
the
know.
Traditional reasons
right.
of a wedding, not
yeah.
for... Okay.
So that was kind of what started the journey, and... What we didn't expect is that I would have fertility problems of my own. I had previously had an IUD placed and didn't realize that that was going to throw my hormones all out of whack. And so it really wound up being this really heartbreaking, crazy journey of trying for 7 months.
It was awful.
Heartbreaking, you know,
so
every month.
So it wasn't such a slam dunk then to be the surrogate.
It wasn't, which was very surprising for all of us. We thought, oh, this will take like one or two tries. And it just wound up month after month after month just getting let down. But luckily, Keston, who's always my knight in shining armor, found a supplement that's supposed to regulate you, and sure enough, it worked.
Wow.
All of a sudden, we were pregnant. Everybody was just so ecstatic. These women's dreams were coming true. It was really glorious for a few months until we did this ultrasound where they, you know, test for abnormalities and things like that.
We all thought...
Is it just an automatic now? With every pregnancy.
They ask you, they encourage you to do it, mm-hmm. but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But we thought, oh my gosh, here's a chance to see the baby.
So that's gender also that you get to see what
Yeah, yes, we're okay. like, oh, we can see the baby. And when we were there, we're all joking about how long the baby's legs are. Oh, it's going to be a basketball player.
She was beautiful.
She's, you know, was moving around and kicking. Mm-hmm. And so we're all on cloud 9. And all of a sudden, the technician leaves, and the doctor comes back in, and he's like, you know, there's something wrong with the baby. And all of us just were devastated. What? How could something be wrong?
She looked perfect.
We just saw this baby, and she looks perfect. How can you tell us there's something wrong?
So, first of all, is that how he said it?
Yeah.
Oh, he was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, he
was, yeah. And then he later on told us, you know, this is where
how do they see something beyond gender?
Had fluid buildup on the back of her neck.
They could see that.
Yeah, they could see that. And so depending on how big that measurement is, they say it's more likely that there's an abnormality. And then they suggest that you get further testing.
And you
Well, actually, they suggest right on the spot.
Well, terminate. They say this is where parents usually decide to start over is basically how they put it. And for us, we just were all like, whoa, wait, you know, because we had gone through so much to make this baby to just all of a sudden terminate. We just were like, wow, we need to, we need more answers. We need to figure out what exactly does this baby have. So we wound up doing the further testing, and it came back that the baby had Down syndrome. And that was a really rough day for us, especially.
Because I, you know, the terrible thing, and I'm not proud of saying this, but I had a phobia about people with disabilities, particularly Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
A year before this happened, we had taken our kids to the pumpkin patch, and there was a group of kids there on a field trip that had Down syndrome, and I told Andrea, we have to leave.
Oh, really?
I did.
It just made you that uncomfortable.
It did. And I thought,
I'm guessing that's not so unusual.
It isn't so unusual. And I mean, we know this now because we're part of the Down syndrome community. But, I mean, Andrea was so sweet. She said, well, okay, we'll just eat lunch here really quick and we'll go. And I explained to her, I had had some experiences in my life which validated why I felt the way I felt. I felt that they were, and again, I'm ashamed to say this, but I felt that they were real-life inspirations for monster movies.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And so, and I told her that. And she was sweet. I mean, I thought, here, I'm this perfect person. I'm a great person. I do, you know, I work in the community. But it never dawned on me that I was discriminating. So when we got this diagnosis of Down syndrome, or worse, the doctor said, I couldn't think what on earth is worse than Down syndrome.
Well, what did that mean? Like possibly blind or deaf or?
Well, you have to read about it in the book. But he had a list of things that he thought were wrong with the baby.
Or could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but at the same time, Andrea was just, she was devastated.
Of course. And what about the people you were being surrogate for?
Right.
They were devastated, too.
Everybody was devastated, and we all kind of needed some time to think and absorb and figure out what does this mean, and is this something that we can handle? Is this something that the intended moms can handle? And when it kind of started to become apparent that they were leaning more towards termination, they specifically said, you know, termination is our decision and our decision alone. And
they basically told us we had to respect their decision.
And kind of butt out that it was
well,
their decision.
Well,
I mean, as far as their end goes. So that does that
that's
just
their
mean,
decision
that
for
just
them.
Means they're
right.
No longer the parents once the baby's born.
Well,
they wanted us to terminate.
They wanted us to terminate, and when we said that we were thinking about not terminating, they threatened to sue us very briefly.
Goodness.
Yeah, very briefly.
So I was assuming never assume anything. I'm trying to yes.
Yeah.
I was assuming that if they said that just meant we're no longer involved.
Right.
For some reason, they felt that this journey that we had been on together, I think that they felt like they were going to be leaving us with this big burden, and I think they couldn't deal with the guilt, and so they really wanted us to terminate the pregnancy.
So they were doing it for reasons of thinking about your future also. Okay.
Probably.
I believe so.
Possibly,
okay.
Yeah. We never talked about it, but I believe so.
Okay. So what happened after that?
Well, after they kind of briefly threatened us, we sought legal counsel, and they told us, oh, you know, no judge would ever force a woman to terminate their own biological child. Since Delaney was mine, we used my eggs and donated sperm.
Mm-hmm.
It made it a little bit...
Oh, more clear.
More right. clear that, yes, we did actually have some right to keep the baby. So we chose to do that. And
it was a crazy time because here I thought, I mean, the Down syndrome scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And this definitely wasn't what I signed up for. And I know it wasn't what Andrea signed up for. But in seeing how distraught she was, I mean, she was just distraught. Mm-hmm. I don't even know a word to describe how awful you felt.
Well, the reason behind that, as earlier I mentioned that I had, or I think Kesson mentioned that I had some personal reasons. Mm-hmm. And
she felt God was punishing her.
I felt like God was punishing me. And instead of righting that wrong, it was actually, I was getting punished even more. I really wore that mm-hmm. Very heavily.
So I saw her that she was so distraught, and I knew that I couldn't just go. I mean, I would have initially just thought immediately we're going to terminate, mm-hmm. honestly. But I had actually just lost my mother, too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, I realized we had gone through so much to make this baby, and I didn't want to give up.
Good for you.
So I decided to, luckily with Andrea, she sat down, and the only thing she asked me to do, she said, Kesson, I'm not going to force you into anything. This is your decision now. And I was like, oh my God, this baby's fate is in my hands. And I knew I couldn't take that lightly, and I had to educate myself, which I did. And Andrea said, the only thing I want you to do is watch some videos of me of the capabilities of these people, and then make your decision. Mm-hmm. And you know, I knew right away. And I knew I felt my mom with me. And I knew my mom, you know, my mom grew up in a different time when people like Delaney were institutionalized.
Yes.
So my mom would have told me to terminate.
Oh.
And it was kind of a pivotal moment for me because I realized that I could come out of my mom's shadow. And it was...
Oh, and speak for yourself.
Yes.
In your own time.
Yes. And so I came to Andrea and I go, babe, we're going to keep this baby. And she said, she started to cry. She said, Kesson, I know you don't mean that.
I would start to, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, no, I do. And I'm okay with it.
She said, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be
and
okay.
And that was probably one of the happiest moments in my life because she really did save me from this now impeding punishment mm-hmm. that I was going to have to terminate this child to now we can have this child and we'll love her and we will, you
give
know,
her
give her every opportunity to thrive. And that's what we did. So we enrolled her in early intervention and we started supplements. While I was pregnant, I was taking brain-boosting supplements, and we got her signed up for everything. Our family started learning sign language.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. Are you teaching? Do you teach her sign? Is that
we do.
Delaney knows more signs than we do.
Yeah, Delaney knows currently probably around 150 signs, mm-hmm. which is pretty impressive.
She is smart.
Yeah.
All the early intervention, the early supplements that we did with the brain development while Andrea was pregnant paid off in spades. Delaney is on target developmentally with any typical baby without her disability.
Okay.
But we work with her a lot, too.
Now, where are your other children? How old are they? And
Well, they're at school right now.
Oh, but I mean, do they live with you?
Oh, yes. They live with us. Yeah, we have custody. Yes.
So that Delaney is born into, what, a brother and a sister?
Yes.
Or what?
More. Well, more than that, actually, because Kesson has children as well that are adults.
And they live with us. They're young adults, but they live with us. And then I have a grandbaby who lives with us. And
we have quite the full house.
So this is born into a full and joyous house.
Yes.
Absolutely. Full of love. Lots of people to teach her and educate her and protect her. Support her.
We always say that Delaney did not get the memo that she has Down syndrome. She just didn't. Because she doesn't act like she has Down syndrome. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Well, but, and she's got you. I mean, she was born into an enthusiastically welcoming household.
Right.
And I think what the difference is we chose this.
Yes.
We knew, and we chose
That's
this.
That's what I mean by enthusiastically
exactly.
welcoming. Yeah.
So we didn't have, I mean, our moments of grief were really moments of grief for the two intended moms that we felt like we let down.
Right.
But once it became, it wasn't about them anymore. Once the baby was there. And another thing, Janet, I got to tell you is when we went in for that ultrasound, I saw a perfect baby.
I know. That's what you said. That's yes.
I saw a lively little person. I saw her profile. And if she was going to not survive, because the doctors told us she would not make it, if she was not going to survive, that was going to be up to her. And not only did she survive, but she thrives.
Well, so you're saying that when during the pregnancy you saw a perfect baby,
mm-hmm.
but in listening to you, you're describing a perfect child.
She's a perfect child.
So you did see a perfect baby.
We did.
She never let us down.
Oh.
And everything
what is she doing now
say,
well, in her life? You said she's 2.5.
Yeah, she's 2.5.
And does she communicate
oh
mostly
gosh.
By signing?
No, actually, she does know how to talk. She is verbal.
Very.
Yes.
She sings.
She, you know, talks in 3 to 5 word sentences, which is right on track with normal, you know, 2.5-year-olds, kids without her disability. She runs, jumps, sings, dances.
Okay. If you go to her YouTube videos.
Okay, well, tell us about this, because I think people are going to want to. First of all, you have written a book about this.
Yes.
Let's say the name of your book, please.
The book is called Saving Delaney. It was originally called Saving Delaney, Saving Me, because she saved me from my own fears. But we for editorial reasons, we dropped the Saving Me, but she really did save us. But it's called Saving Delaney.
And is that available now on
Amazon and Barnes & Noble as a pre-order? It's actually coming out on April 12th.
Okay.
We're going to have a big party at Barnes & Noble. And
which one?
Emeryville.
Yeah.
So people can just, if you hear this and you're in Emeryville.
Yes, please come.
Yes.
April 15th, 7 o'clock, Barnes & Noble.
Will she be with you? Or
yes.
Yes.
Oh, she will. Yes.
Delaney
7
will
o'clock,
be with
7
us.
O'clock.
She's
going to
sign my
bedtime.
Crayons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, what about school for her?
Well, she has a play group that she goes to, which is like preschool, and then she has her therapies because she does have a disability.
What do her therapies deal with?
She receives speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and then she sees like an infant developmental specialist, which just kind of helps with socialization aspects.
Mm-hmm. You know, children with Down syndrome and probably every disability, when they say a child is raised by a village, that's particularly the case with a disabled child. Because you have a team of people helping you, luckily. Mm-hmm. And we're very close with them. They're like family to us.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And what about, so your extended, tell me a little something about your extended family and your grandchild. And
oh, gosh. Well, I have, my son is 21, and that's Zach. And then my daughter is Jordan, and she's closer to 30, but she's married, and we have a basement apartments in our 100-year-old house. We have a craftsman house, and they live downstairs, but they're up there upstairs all the time with us. Because it's hard to resist. We have a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we teach our children to be socially responsible. Like probably later on today, we've collected socks from a podiatrist, and we're going to go hand them out to homeless people. And if you go to Delaney's websites, you'll see that she hands out chocolates.
Do you want to say Delaney's website? Is it Saving Delaney?
It is. It's Saving Delaney. But then she also has a Facebook where we post all of her videos about.
Okay,
all
so we can find her. And so the village has just increased.
Yes.
By Facebook and yes.
Oh, yes.
Delaney, probably with Twitter and everything, she has over 10,000 fans.
Oh, my goodness. That is quite an extended family.
And they're loyal.
Yeah,
they're loyal. We just posted a video of her doing polka dancing because she loves to dance and she loves music. And, boy, people just love it. So.
Are you still singing?
No.
Performing? Or?
No, I'm too busy.
What else do you...
Oh, my God. Well, I run a chocolate company.
Oh, tell me about that.
It's called Toe-Rific Chocolates and Candies, and it's a specialty. It's a marketing company. We sell chocolate feet to podiatrists, to salesmen trying to get their foot in the door, to gift shops.
Oh, my goodness. How did you get...
You know, great guy. His name is Mark Wolba, and he's a podiatrist, and he was having a glass of wine one night and was trying to think of a clever way to say thank you to his referring doctors. And it just took off. It just took off because it's such a clever little idea.
Really?
Gift shops, get back on your feet. But a big thing that he does because
nationally, I mean, is this?
Oh yeah, well, we even sell internationally. But he we're so close, and he's so close to my family that he created a buddy foot, which is a foot in the shape of a Down syndrome child because Down syndrome children have a sandal gap.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
they do, and so he created that, and we sell buddy feet to Down syndrome groups now. He's a philanthropist, and so that's another thing that we do. I run the chocolate company early in the morning, and then I come home so I can help with the baby.
So do you have a place, well, if you're manufacturing, you've got to have a kitchen of some sort.
We actually don't manufacture. We have the Amish make our chocolate back east. Oh, my gosh.
Boarded
I should
out.
Have brought you some. It's delicious. I will send you some.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's delicious.
That is so interesting. Honestly, the things that you discover in this world that people do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a lot to do, I mean, with your book, and life's going to be busy. Life's going to be busy. Somebody should smack me for saying that. Life's going to be busier.
I'll smack her.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, let me ask you something, because I do tend to flow on to love letters. And Do you write them? Have you ever written them in your life? Are you letter writers?
We've written many love letters to each other. Mm-hmm. The book reads as a love letter.
I'm sure it does.
And it's a love affair really between Andrea and I, and how close we were together and how we bonded during this time. Mm-hmm. And then also, then once we decided we were going to save Delaney and keep Delaney, the love letter becomes the three of us.
Yes.
And our other children are very involved as well, but this was a very life-changing thing for both of us.
I'm sure. So here's what I'm thinking, though. There's something about leaving a trail of something behind you in your own handwriting. That, do you still have the letters that you've written to each other?
Do we? Andrea,
I do. I have a drawer in my sock drawer that I keep all the cards and letters
and people do.
Mementos and stuff.
You're so sweet.
You know, memories and stuff, special dates and all the cards, Valentine's cards and Mother's Day cards.
I'm just thinking, what if you wrote, obviously I'm thinking to Delaney, and she will be able to read at some point in her life.
That's a fantastic idea.
And, you know, in just easy to read, by the way, I go for easy to read when you're writing to children, nice big printing. That's easy to read, which will, by the way, hold up later. Well, also, when they're old people and their eyesight isn't so good, mm-hmm. they'll be able to... But anyway, what if you just wrote a love letter to her every birthday?
I think that's a wonderful idea.
And
I would love to do that.
The years go fast. Mm-hmm. What she'll have, you know, when she's 10, if she can read them, or when she's 18 or 20, mm-hmm. or keep them, then just give them to her as a 21st birthday present.
I think that's a great idea, because we know that we're going to have some explaining to do.
Oh, like in what way? Oh, about who
she is
and how she came into
this
world.
I mean, we don't keep it a secret. We're very vocal about it. But she's also young, and she's not going to understand that.
Right. We believe
in her. And the book is different than something in your handwriting.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you, when we are all dead and gone, and our children have things in our handwriting, it'll bring you back.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because, you know, you type on your computer and print it out on Word, and it's
everybody's
so cold.
Got Lucida Bright. Nobody's got your handwriting.
Yeah. It's such a cold way to... I think that's actually a really great idea. Mm-hmm. We've actually just recently been talking about how we're going to talk to Delaney when she's older. So that would probably be a very wonderful way to talk mm-hmm. to her.
Yeah, I think that would be a great way to open up a conversation and open up that dialogue.
Yeah, because we're out there. We're going to continue sharing her story mm-hmm. because 9 out of 10 babies who are prenatally diagnosed, it's said, it's an estimate, 9 out of 10 are terminated when they're diagnosed prenatally.
Oh.
Which is why we're sharing Delaney's story.
Oh, so she is going to have the extra status of being a really select group.
Yes, mm-hmm. she made it. We knew she was fighting for her life when we chose to save her, not only from the medical conditions they said she had, which most of them she did not have, but her biggest fight for her life was discrimination.
Isn't that interesting and mm-hmm. how true I can
and
see
I,
that?
And I was one of them, so.
But, you know, you say that about yourself, and I understand that, but I think it's fair for people to be, I mean, ignorance is ignorance if you don't know something.
Very true. I didn't know.
Right.
And I
didn't realize is really all there is to it.
Really, mm-hmm. you have to educate yourself and realize, wow, this is me.
Right.
Which is what I did.
Right.
It's funny, and I say this in the book. I thought people with Down syndrome were real life inspirations mm-hmm. for monster movies. I'm ashamed to say that. Delaney showed me that the monster was in my mirror.
Uh huh. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Certainly wasn't her.
Right.
And she's. I cannot imagine a world without Delaney in it now.
Oh, I'm sure you can't, or your life without Delaney.
Yeah, she's a hero to so many people. She really is. She's.
And wouldn't that be a nice thing to say in a love letter? All these things that you're just saying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Because specifics are important. Mm-hmm. You know, when you write a love letter, you're so special, doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
But that you're a hero to so many people because mm-hmm. you taught.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. It's your, yes.
You know, when you have a child that's with a disability, and you, people just do not know this, but when your child achieves goals, you're always proud of your children. But when you have a child with a disability who
you've been told can't.
Oh, that's the issue. Yes,
yes you've been told that they can't.
Right.
And they actually can.
It just takes a lot of love.
Well, there's another issue. I'm curious how you feel about it, because I have my own personal feeling about this. Whenever I hear the word disabled, I get a little blank spot. You know, I know a lot of people who are what we call disabled, and I don't understand. They're not so disabled. They've got wonderful careers and families and jobs and lives, and they've got differences.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I look forward to the day we stop calling those disabilities.
Mm-hmm. That would be a great movement to start, to be honest, Janet, because I agree. What is disabled?
Right. Because everybody has qualities, and everybody has struggles, and everybody has, you know, every life. That's what life is. It's the challenges. It's the struggles. It's, you know, the journey. And
100%.
Yeah, people need to realize that the journey with somebody that has Down syndrome is so beautiful. You don't have to
give up. And you want to get past the stage where you're having to cheer her on to satisfy the expectations of others.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's huge.
Mm-hmm. That's a very great point. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for coming to tell about this.
Of course. Thank you for covering this.
I hope to be able to meet Delaney someday.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
We're out there. Come to our book signing in Emeryville, and you can meet her. She's a pleasure. She'll steal your heart.
I'm sure. Well, thank you again. And if you at any point want to come back and talk about some other whatever Delaney's mm-hmm. doing, and when she's a little bit older, if she'd like to come join you and say a little something here, that'll be just perfect.
She would love that.
Okay.
She would
love
that.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
So until next time, I want you all to remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, first of all, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And second, there's always a reason to write one. Every time you have a good thought about somebody, just jot it down and mail it. And make somebody else's life richer. And I need a TV moment because look at you. Kesna is just sitting here beaming.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you all later. Goodbye for now.